Bella.
Where is she?
Yes. I follow you.
Now, turn off your cell phone. Now, Sharon. Now, the show today isn't the main going to be a repeat of something that I said, the show that I gave at the Shabbaton, but I've come up with a whole new approach, amazing, a whole new approach. It's going to be refreshing, it's going to be beautiful, and our friends Sir and Avram Gutnacher over there are going to get the prize today. They will be hearing this year, though it's new. You'll see something new that's going to excite you.
It'll be much nicer than I have probably.
Yeah, for the fourth time, I believe. For the fourth or the fifth. I said it at the Ramada of Yantif, and every time you say it, you come up with something new. And this morning, through my mind, so I'm going to share that with you. First of all, the Marcos see the top, everybody. I'm good, it's so good. Most it's bad, now it's good. All right. There is a question that is dealt with by the Achronim, something that's discussed by many, including the Meshech Chochma, the Meir Sinter, the Minchas Chinuch, Rav Soloveitchik, and I'm going to hope to add a little bit of my own to this discussion. There are certain parts of the Shir came up during the course of the year in different contexts, but they're all going to come together here, and I think today in a new and refreshing approach. I feel good about it, so I'm going to share it with you. The Rambam. Number one, we have the Rambam. The first Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Kol mitzvot Shabbat Torah, the Rambam says, all mitzvahs in the Torah, bein aseh, bein lo saaseh, regardless of whether it is positive or negative, in ovar odom alachat mehen, if a person transgressed any one of them, bein dezodom, bein mishkogur, regardless of whether he did it intentionally or unintentionally. Kishe yaaseh tshuva, when he will do tshuva, v'yoshuv mecheto, and he will turn back from sinning, chayev lidvadot, he is obligated to confess, to express it verbally. A simple reading of the word of the Rambam should lead you to the conclusion, a conclusion that may be surprising, shocking, exciting, perplexing. The Rambam does not say that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. Everybody's talking about tshuva. This is the month of tshuva. This is the period of tshuva. We are in the Aseret Yemei tshuva. But the Rambam has not said you have to do tshuva. The Rambam has said a person who is going to do tshuva, when he will, and he will turn back from his sin, there's an obligation. And that obligation is to express it verbally, to say vidui, or shamnu, bogarnu, gozalnu, al chet shechotonu lefarecha, anachnu avavu, seinu chotonu, the vidui, the confession. And the Rambam is going to make it even more clear. A person has to say vidui before God, blessed is he, shenemar, and he brings the pasuk in Torah. The pasuk appears in Parshat Haso, in Sefer Bamidbar, and it's talking about somebody who brings a sacrifice because he sinned. So the pasuk says, Ishu yishok yasu mikol chatota adam, a man or a woman who will do any sin of man, v'hidvadu et chatatam asher osu, they shall confess the sin that they did. They have to give verbal expression to it. Zed vidui dvori. That, for his fathers, is verbal vidui. They have to say it out with their mouths. Soloveitchik writes in one place that human being is one who's always finds it difficult to come face to face with the truth about himself, and there may be all sorts of thoughts that move through our minds, but we have difficulty formulating them in sentences and saying it out. And therefore, any thought of tshuva could be a thought that is ephemeral, fleeting, passing. It has to be given life. It has to be made concrete. The moment that a person says it out of his mouth, that tshuva takes on a life of its own. It becomes real. It impacts on him. That was something that we talked about at the Shabbaton. The idea of Beficha u'bilevavcha, the Torah says it is in your mouth and in your heart. We talked about it last week. Beficha u'bilevavcha la'asoto. There is the relationship of mouth and heart. And you remember everything we said last week. We talked about tefillah. We talked about kavana in tefillah. And that in tshuva as well, there's levavcha, but there's picha. And picha, expressing it with your mouth, is that which impacts upon your heart. Raman goes on to say, Vidui zed mitzvat aseh. This vidui is a positive commandment. He doesn't say tshuva is a positive commandment. He says, Vidui zed, this confession is mitzvat aseh. Keitzad mitvadeh, how does one say vidui? Omer. He says the following, On Hashem, I rebellion, chotosi, ofisi, washati, I erred, I sinned, I acted rebelliously, lefanecho, before you, vasisi, kach, bekach, and I did such and such, v'hadinichanti, v'avoshti, b'ma'asai, and I regret that I'm embarrassed of what I've done. L'olam, eini, chosel, l'dofar, zer, I'm never going to do that again. Zehu, ikaro, shall be done. That is the substance and the essence of vidui. There are a number of components here, and in a moment we're going to see the Rambam enunciating more comprehensively the precise steps that make up tshuva shlema, or complete tshuva. So the reading of the Rambam seems to leave the impression that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his first shiurim in the Sefer Al HaTshuva, brings his uncle, the Avodas HaMelech, who also says there's no mitzvah of tshuva, and he knows that everybody is aware of the Meshech Chochma and the Minchas Chinuch, but the Chav takes exception and says can't be. There has to be a mitzvah of tshuva. There has to be a mitzvah of tshuva. I'm not going to go into a comprehensive study of what the Chav says. I'm only going to comment on a number of things. He gives two proofs. This brings a number of others, but he gives two of the proofs that he gives that there must be a mitzvah of tshuva is number two and number three. Number two is a halacha in chapter two of Hilchot Tshuva, where the Rambam says, Uma hi ha-tshuva. What is tshuva? God says, if the Rambam is saying, Ma hi ha-tshuva, that means there must be a mitzvah of tshuva, and he's asking, and what is this tshuva that the Torah tells us about? So here, he is going to enunciate very clearly the three pillars upon which tshuva stands. One, that the sinner shall set aside his sin and remove it from his thoughts, and make a decision in his heart, he's not going to do it again. The fact is that in this sentence alone, we already have the components of tshuva. How do we know step one is that he should set aside the sin, as it says, Pasuk in Yeshayahu, and we're going to come back to this halacha. Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Yazo brasho darko v'ish oven machshev also. The a sinner, the evil, the bad person, Yazov Rosh Darko, the Rosh should set aside the way in which he has been conducting himself, the Ish Oven Machshavosav, and a person should remove the evil thoughts in his mind. The Chayin, next component is Yidnachem Al Shavar, he should regret that which happened, which he did in the past. Shenema, as it says, Ki Acharei Shuvi Nichanti, after I did tshuva, I regretted. Now this is a little strange, because we're really talking about it, but seeing that there is regret that precedes tshuva, and Yirmiyahu is talking about regret that's after tshuva. So there are two kinds of regret. There's a pre-tshuva regret, which, what's the in terminology now? It kick-starts the tshuva?
Jump starts.
Today I saw in the paper, kick-start, and I know it up. We're jump-starting the peace process all the time, you know? Jump start, kick start, keep up the momentum, everything has to keep moving. I couldn't help that, I just had to get that out. The flesh bulbs are going to pop in Washington, and the whole process is going to begin, and there's going to be peace on earth and goodwill to all terrorists. Okay. But anyway, there's something that jump starts tshuva. And that's charata. A person must regret what he's been doing. But what's involved in that regret? And we're going to start coming into another significant aspect of today's year. What starts that is, I did something wrong. I feel so bad. Why did I do it? It was an act of rebelliousness against God. And what happened to me as a result of that sin? I had once had a relationship of love, compassion, a good feeling between me and God. And I ruined it. I ruined it. I destroyed it all by a silly chait that I did. And now he does tshuva. Then after he does tshuva, he begins to become overwhelmed with a sense of good being that he has regained his great friend. He has the Rebbeinu Shalom again, as there's a relationship between the two of them. And when he feels the warmth and the beauty of that relationship, there is even a greater degree of regret. Why did I do that to begin with? Why did I cause that break and that rupture in this most important of all relationships? The relationship between man and his God. It's a different kind of regret that comes afterwards. And I'm just going to throw out two terms. And these two terms are going to become important later in this year. This is going to be the chiddush in today's approach. I have two relationships. The Jew relates to God in two ways. Avinu, Malkeinu. Our father, our king. Kirachim of Albanim, as a father has mercy on children, so have mercy on us. In Kivanim, in Kavanim. Either like sons or like servants. In Kivanim, if our relationship is a relationship of children, Rachameinu Kirachim of Albanim, have mercy on us, for your father has mercy on his children. And if the relationship is the relationship of servants to a king, im kavodim, einenu lechot yod, we look, our eyes look up to you, until you, King who judges us, is going to bring our judgment out to light. The charata, I want to say that the regret that comes before the process of tshuva, the regret that begins the process of tshuva, is the regret that comes from a servant who has acted rebelliously toward his king. When one does tshuva and the relationship is renewed, a healing has taken place. Do you know what how the Jew feels? He feels vain. The Rebbeinu was not only our king, he's our father. How did I do something that was in opposition to my father's will? How did I do it? So there's a charata at the beginning, which is the regret of the break in the relationship between a servant and his master. And then comes the more profound regret, the regret of a child who acted so poorly in relation to his father. And that's going to make a great deal of difference. Acharei shuvi nuchat nichamti. Then the Rambam goes on to say the most difficult of all, the third step in the process of tshuva. After one has forsaken, set the sin aside, after he has already gone through the regret of the past, the Yoid Olav Yodea Talumas, the God who knows all secrets, will be able to testify about Shalom Yoshua and Zachet La'olam that he's never, ever again going to do that sin. Can you imagine what it means that God should be able to testify about us that we are never going to do it again? Shenema, as it says, Elohomar Oved Eloheinu L'maaseh Yodeinu, we will never again say Eloheinu, our God, L'maaseh Yodeinu, to that which we made with our hands. What's that pasuk talking about? That pasuk is a pasuk in Hosea. Not only is it a pasuk in Hosea, it's a pasuk in the Haftorah of Shabbos, Shuvah, this coming Shabbos. Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Return to God, your God of Israel. Ki hashavta bi'avonecha, because you stumbled, you made a mistake by sinning. Kechu imachem devarim, the Navi says, take words with you. The Shuvah Hashem, express it. You hear the pitui in the words of Hosea. And Hosea tells us, you know what we should say? We should say the following. Ashur lo yoshi'enu Assyria. One of the superpowers of the day. Lo yoshi'enu is not going to save us. Al sus lo nirkov. We're not going to go riding on a horse. Horse represented the might of ancient Egypt. Egypt, the symbol of Egypt was the horse. Horses came from Egypt. Our Suslo Nirkov, we're not going to ride to victory on the back of Mitzrayim. You can't trust Asher. You can't trust Mitzrayim. V'lonomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yodeinu. And the third part of the video is we will no longer say Eloheinu l'maaseh yodeinu. But you know what? If Asher won't help us, then Mitzrayim won't help us. We'll take care of ourselves. We will take care of ourselves. Our army, our boys, we're going to do it all. Our statesmen, our politicians, Inzer Chachbeim said, Long Nomare, we're not going to make that mistake ever again of saying about Maaseh Yodeinu, that which we do with our own hands, that it is our God. I've quoted often the Rav who said, Salvation said, you think that there's no idolatry in our days? You think that our Zaydas there in the period of the Shoftim, period of the Judges, and the period of the Kings, they rubbed their pants out, bowing down before Baal and Ashtaroth and all the rest of those fashion-looking idolatry and pagan and heathen images, but not us. We're clean. We're Mr. Clean. We are not idolaters. So he says he should know. Remember, we're going back to the 20th century, the last century. He said that in the 20th century, the worst idolatry of all appeared on the face of this earth. And the name of the idol was man. At the beginning of the century, man thought that he had within his power to resolve all of the problems of mankind. It was the day that medicine was making major strides forward. There were the microbe hunters, there were vaccinations. They, what they were doing, and a little further in, Orville and Wilbur Wright flew that Verschlugene machine about 100 meters at Kitty Hawk. Ford the Undersubmit was already, I think he was making the thing that jump-started the Model T Ford. The man was making such kind of strides forward, they think they made strides forward. There wasn't a single cell phone in the whole world. But man thought that he has it in his ability, he's going to resolve the problems of mankind. Medicine, technology, science, physics, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they were doing. The machine gun had already been invented. And then before you knew it, there were biplanes, pilots over there going into there. But when you look at it, I always say, if we could remove one century from history, the one that's at the top of the list is the 20th century. The great man who worshipped his own power became the worst beast of all in the 20th century. And it was not only Hitler, it was Stalin, it was Mao Zedong, Friedrich. There were enough big Rishonim who killed hundreds of millions of people. The Navi is saying, V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yadeinu. We're not going to look at the work of our own hands as being the deity, meaning that we are worshipping ourselves. Tzorech l'svados, the Sfasim, and the Rambam says again, you have to express with your lips the lomar inyonos elu shekama b'lipo, and to say these things that one-sided in his heart. So the Rav says, here we see there's a mitzvah of tshuva, and the Rambam enunciates it clearly. The next is in chapter 7 of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says the following, kol amdim kulam tzifu ala tshuva, all of the prophets commanded us to do tshuva. How do you like that? There it is, kol amdim kulam tzifu ala tshuva. All the prophets commanded us to do tshuva. Then Yisrael, the golden elder, tshuva, and Israel are going to be redeemed only through tshuva. Ukvar hifticha Torah. Now if the moment you hear the sentence that Geula is only going to come through repentance, your heart may fall into your stomach and think, if it depends on our doing tshuva, oy vey, who knows whether there will ever be redemption. So the Rambam tells you immediately, the Torah is already guaranteed. Shesof Yisrael lasas tshuva v'sof Geulah. At the end of their exile, they're going to do tshuva at the end of their exile. So if Yisrael lasas tshuva v'sof Geulah, umiyad hei nigolin, immediately they will be redeemed. Shedema, he brings a pasuk here. Malkoth. Kol Hanavim. And what pasuk does the Rama bring to tell us that God promised and guaranteed that we will do tshuva and we will be redeemed? He brings the pasuk in Passover and Supper, for high up to your lower level, call out for him, and all of these things will happen to you. And you will return to God of God. How many times we say this in Davening? God will return your captivity, and he will have mercy on you. He will gather you in for all the nations that live in. So it's very interesting. So the God says, all, there's a mitzvah of tshuva. All the prophets committed to do tshuva. So I'm just going to say on these two halachas of the Rambam that I believe these two halachas of the Rambam prove precisely the opposite, that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. The halacha that we're dealing with right now, the halacha kolam v'in kulam tzifu ala tshuva, all the prophets commanded Jews to do tshuva. I don't believe the Rambam writes by any other mitzvah, kolam v'in kulam tzifu ala shabbos. All the Nevi'im commanded to do. Rambam doesn't write that. He doesn't write kolam v'in kulam tzifu to eat kosher. No. You know why all the Nevi'im told us to do tshuva? Because there is no mitzvah of tshuva. So they're coming along to tell us good advice, Chevre. Go ahead and do tshuva so you can see that vidui and rebuild a relationship with God. Otherwise we're going to be in big trouble. Nevi'im are advising the Jewish people that they should do tshuva. But there is no obligatory mitzvah in Torah to do tshuva. And of all things, the Ramban disagrees with the Ramban. The Ramban is the one who says that there is a mitzvah of tshuva. And how does he know that there's a mitzvah of tshuva? He brings this pasuk of v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. You shall return to God your God. This pasuk that the Ramban is using to tell us that there's a guarantee that someday in the future we're going to do tshuva, and therefore is not talking about a mitzvah of tshuva, is the pasuk that Ramban uses to say that there is a mitzvah of tshuva. It all depends on how you translate the word v'shavta. You can translate the word v'shavta in one of two ways. You shall do tshuva. That's the Ramban, mitzvah of tshuva. V'shavta can also be translated, and you will. Someday in the future, v'shavta, you will do tshuva. The Ramban learns this pasuk as saying, zarzach nish, don't worry, Klal Yisrael. You will do tshuva. God will make sure of it. He can make sure of it in one of two ways. Suffering, or such miracles will be done to the Jewish people that we will all prostrate ourselves before him and say, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. We of course pray that it should be the second way. Let's go back to the halacha before, Umayi HaTshuva, where the Rambam enunciates the, what is tshuva? Seems there's a mitzvah. So I say, no, this halacha proves that there is no mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah of tshuva, then when the Rambam has to clarify for us the three pillars upon which tshuva stands, you know how he does it? That you have to leave the sin and remove it from your mind. He brings a pasuk from Yeshayahu to tell us that you have to regret the past. He brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu to tell us that you should decide in your mind never to do it again. He brings a pasuk in Hosea. He couldn't have found anything in all of Torah to describe, to define, to clarify for us the mitzvah of tshuva? No. Because there is no tshuva in the Torah, my opinion. No mitzvah of tshuva. By the way, let's run through this Rambam again. Number two, Umayya tshuva, Hushnyaz machote cheto, v'yesirim v'yashachto, v'yidim v'libo shalai raseot shenema, yazo v'rosho darko v'yishove v'ashiroto. You know where that passage comes from? That was yesterday's Haftorah. The Haftorah of a fast day. The next pasuk the Rambam brings from Yirmiyahu, Ki acharei shuvi l'chamti, that was the Haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The third pasuk that he brings, V'lo nomar od l'heinu l'masa yedeinu, is going to be the Haftorah of Shabbos Shuvah. The three psukim that he brings are three Haftorahs that we will have said within 1 week. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is immediately followed by Tzom Gedalia. And if Tzom Gedalia is here, then Shabbos Shuvah is around the corner. And that's going to be this coming Shabbos. All right, so if I'm saying that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, so what is there? What is there? Tell you what there is. It begins with the Malbim in number 5. You don't have to look. I'm going to tell you what the Malbim says. It says at the beginning of Parshas Truma that God says to the Jewish people, I want you to build a dwelling place for me, a Mishkan. The Yikhuli Truma, they shall take unto me Truma, gold, silver, this, that, all sorts of things. So the Malbim says, why does it not say simple and straight, V'yitnu li truma, they shall give unto me donations? So the Malbim says, oh no! God didn't want to write V'yitnu, they shall give, because the word V'yitnu would mean that there is a mitzvah and you have to do it. You know what God wants? That Jews should bring donations for his Mishkan out of the fullness of their free will. Nidvat lipo. God wants the donation to come from the heart. There is absolutely no coercion whatsoever. The point that we're going to make in this year is the following. Not everything has to be a mitzvah. There are values in Torah that are not expressed by being one of the 613 mitzvahs. And if it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, there's nothing beyond it. I'm going to tell you, there is. You know what I'm going to call it? I'm going to call it Ritzon Hashem. There are values that I call the will of God. And we know what the will of God is. And I will give examples of it. And you know what leads me here? There are these two areas that in a sense require our attention. One, the mitzvahs. God commanded 613 mitzvahs. I have to fulfill them. I also have to be attuned to something a little more delicate, which is called Ritzon Hashem. I'm going to prove it. But where does it all flow from? Does I say our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is a dual relationship? It's a relationship of Avinu, and it's a relationship of Malkeinu. We have the relationship of son to father, and the relationship of servant before master. Master commands, servant does. A father expresses a will. The tata or the mama doesn't have to say everything out clearly. Bring my glazer latte. Bring me a cup. A child should be tuned in to what the will of the father or the mother is. Can you imagine? I'm thinking of it now. We're going to be talking about bracha. Can you imagine saying a mitzvah, Asher Kitzonu v'mitzosa v'tzivonu al kibud av v'ein. Bring my father a glass of pay, and I say, Asher Kitzonu v'mitzosa. If my father would give me a pachin buka, I could see five hands on my face, he'd be right. You don't do for a father and mother because it's invulnerable. There's a relationship of love, a powerful relationship. And that relationship is not something that expresses itself in a command. Our dual relationship with the relationship of Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu means that there is something that is called God's will, as I will show you. And that doesn't have to be legislated. And then the relationship of Malkeinu, a king is the one who gives orders, instructions, edicts, laws, statutes, manifestos. The Rebbein Shlomo has expressed his will. He would like a dwelling place amongst the Jewish people. The only time in history, the only people he wants to dwell in their midst. So what should be the instinctive response? An outpouring of donations. I can have a share in building a house for Avim Shabbat Shemayim, without the net. This is not something that has to be legislated. Okay, fellas? I'm going to start calling out, I want to hear your pledges right now. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, not good enough, Levi, not good enough. Go a little higher. This is not a campaign for a construction project somewhere on earth. We're talking about building a home for the Rebbein, for the Tata. The Tata wants a home. It's his will. There should be an outpouring of our giving to that. That's what the Malvin is saying. So of course that takes me in all sorts of other directions. I once told you some years ago that all of this began with a question that I saw that was asked in the Shuva Svidei Einsperger of Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, where he asked the question, remember seeing this 40 years ago, 40 years ago. Amazing. I remember it. I've said it over 100 times, though. Of course I remember it. Anyway, here it is. Here it is. He asks a question. On Purim, there's a mitzvah to send the Shlomo Achmonos. Why don't we make a bracha shekin shomu v'mitzvos v'tzivonu? On the Shlomo Achmonos, why don't we make a bracha? God commanded us to send Mishloach Achmonos. So he says, maybe you will say, it's the same like the mitzvah of tzedakah. You don't make a bracha on tzedakah. Why? Because there's a rule, any mitzvah that needs two people for its fulfillment, you don't make a bracha. Bracha is only made when I alone can fulfill the mitzvah. So then he says, that's not going to help us with regard to Mishloach Achmonos. Because the fact is, the halacha is, that if I send Shloach Achmonos to somebody and he says, no thank you, why did you go through all the trouble? I fulfilled the mitzvah. Why have I fulfilled the mitzvah? Because the purpose of the mitzvah of Shloach Achmonos is to create a sense of friendship, camaraderie, warmth between people. So the Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg says, do you know what's the easiest way to kill the whole intent of the mitzvah of Mishloach Achmonos? If you say Hashem Kitshonu v'mitzoso v'tzivonu. If the whole expression of my friendship is because v'tzivonu, because I was commanded, and therefore that may very well mean that I would say, truth is, I don't like you at all. I can't stand the sight of you. The only thing is, I have a mitzvah. I have to fulfill a mitzvah. Mishloach Achmonos. So I found something that the closest looking thing to an apple, hardly edible, and I find an orange that has seen better years. And I send you the Mishloach Achmonos, and I tell you, Shalom, it says that it's gone. Finish. I think I heard the whole mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is friendship. Friendship should not be coerced in any way. There should be no expression of coercion. So that gave me the idea there must be values in Torah that don't need mitzvah. That don't need mitzvah. You sinned against the Rebbein Shlomo. God has to take it into tshuva. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. You don't realize that you did something terrible. You know, I'm going to use my new approach. A father has to tell a son who has done something terrible to the father, you better do tshuva. The son most probably will reach a point where he will walk around with a sense of such shame and such embarrassment. How in heaven did I like that to the top end to the mountain? A mitzvah yet? Son, repent. No. In the relationship of Avinu to the Rabbeinu Yisrael, there's no necessity to, there's no necessity whatsoever to command. No mitzvah is necessary. You know, I can't help it. This is me. It's me. I've heard this from me before, okay, but I can't help it. There is a great deal of discussion, halachic discussion, Rishonim, Achronim. Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz? The whole wide variety of opinions. It's a mitzvah min HaTorah, it's a mitzvah min Rabbanan, it's a big avera. You name it, whatever opinion you want. And then there's an opinion somewhere in the middle there, which happens to be the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And I here I'm doing tshuva. I always do tshuva when I talk about that. I do personal tshuva when I talk about Rav Moshe's tshuva, responsible about Eretz Yisrael. And I found out later, it's brought by Rav Heschel Schechter in Panini Harav on the first page, that such was the opinion, as well as of Rav Yosef Tov HaLevi Soloveitchik Agent, that the mitzvah of tshuva is not a mitzvah chiyuvit, it's not an obligatory mitzvah. I remember when I first saw that tshuva of Rav Moshe, I had difficulty with it. You know, he's not a Zionist. He's not a Zionist. Alright? And then when I see it from Rav Soloveitchik, very, he was head of Mizrahi, that's what he says.
It's a great deal of discussion. Thank you. Thank you. accept the tshuva. Of accept the tshuva. So much more to say about it.